Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Thank you to all of you who have been doing that recently, and especially all of you who have been saying the nice things that you've been saying about the website, and we appreciate that very much, and also about the newsletter. And don't forget to check out the blog, jimsblog.biz, or on the website. You can find it right there on the website. Ramon Ray, ladies and gentlemen, is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and a great guy. He's a technology evangelist and a speaker and an author of hundreds of articles on technology. He's the editor of smallbusinesstechnology.com. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Ramon, welcome back to the show.
Jim, thank you so much. It's great to be here. I really appreciate it.
It's good to have you here, as always. And folks, I always knew Ramon was a really smart guy, but he told me something today that just really proved it over and over again. And Ramon, you had an occasion to go out into the wilderness with your kids recently, and it was absolutely like going back into, you know, with Lewis and Clark across the country. No,
exactly.
No telephones, no high speed internet, no none of that. But yet you still needed to be online, and you did. How'd you do that?
Sure. And by the way, there were no bathrooms in the cabins either. So it was really wild.
But really primitive, wasn't it?
Exactly. And because I knew that I needed to go online as part of my business on a daily basis, I took my regular cell phone and I bought what's called a mobile office kit. Some vendors call it different things, but I bought a little kit that connects the notebook computer to the cell phone. I connected them together, and using the cell phone as a modem, if you will.
Because you had cell phone coverage where you were.
Exactly.
It wasn't completely Lewis and Clark.
True, halfway. But via the cell phone, I was able to connect to the internet, email, and web surfing with my notebook computer.
Wow.
And so
this is a new one on me, because I use a BlackBerry.
Right.
And
right.
So whenever I'm not around, you know, in the office, wherever I am, if I have data service, right, that data connection, I can actually get my email, and I can surf the internet, but it's very rudimentary because you don't get a regular screen presentation.
Exactly.
It just sort of listed in tabulated form, which is not very productive online. But I wonder if I could get a what do you call it, an internet kit?
Well, Verizon calls it mobile office kit. Right, but Singular, and which bought AT&T, Sprint, which bought Nextel, all of them offer some version of this cable that can connect to your handheld device, whether it's a PDA or a cell phone. So I found it was a great option, Jim, because Wi-Fi is great, you know, but it's not always available. If you're not in a major city, what do you do if you have to get online?
So what kind of a speed connection did you have?
Well, Verizon has something called National Access, and again, I say the other vendors do also. It's about four times the speed of a modem, so I'd say about 50 times, about 100, well, two times the speed, about 150 kilobytes a second.
Not quite as fast as DSL, but certainly faster than dial-up.
Right, exactly.
But it's infinitely faster than nothing.
That was my point. I could have nothing and sit in the campfire and roast marshmallows all day,
or I could spend
time and get online, which I had to do.
Now, were you able to slip off so that the kids didn't see you doing this? It probably was some kind of a rule that you couldn't do this, right? And you broke the rule?
Well, I was online at 3 in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Everybody, the counselors and everybody else was asleep, right?
Exactly.
They were asleep.
Exactly.
Well, that's pretty interesting. Now, what does that little kit cost?
This was about $24, $25, and all it was is the cable. Now, where the money is made, unfortunately, from the telephone, you know, from the wireless providers, is the monthly fee. So to get high-speed access, what they call high-speed, is about $80 a month unlimited. Or you can get...
So you had to subscribe to a service, a level of service, that you had not subscribed to prior to that?
That's correct. Now, there's another option,
Jim. In addition to your phone service?
Well, if you use it at night, like, say, if you have unlimited, or if you have nights and weekends, then you can surf all day, you know, so
okay.
it's not... It's a separate one. But also, Jim, they allow you to use the cell phone as a regular modem, and you can dial up to your regular internet service provider. So if you want to have a slower speed and not pay the $80 per month, you can dial up to Earth, AOL, you know, any of the other ISPs out there.
Like your regular modem would dial up.
Exactly.
It would just dial up, and you get the old. Remember the old? It's been a long time since I heard that old sound, the pinging sound and everything when you dialed up. So this is fascinating. I didn't know any of this, and I'm sure there are a lot of folks out there. I'm the last person on earth who didn't know this, Ramon. But I'm sure you certainly educated me, if not a few other people. So for about $20 a month, or so, you can get the kit,
exactly.
The remote office type kit. Maybe it's available from multiple cell phone vendors.
Absolutely.
And now, clear this up for me.
Sure.
In order for you to be able to do that, you had to have another level of service than a regular cell phone contract.
That's right. If you wanted the high-speed version, just want to dial up as your regular internet provider, it's a good backup option to throw in your bag.
Right.
And if you get stuck in the middle of Kentucky or Wyoming or upstate New York or somewhere where there's no Wi-Fi, no dial-up, pull it out and you can get that important business email.
But you do have to have that dial-up phone number, so you'll have to know what that is before you go.
Exactly.
But if you want the high speed, you got to ramp up your connectivity.
Exactly.
Your contract with them.
Correct.
Very interesting. Very, very important. And it just plugged right into the USB of your computer.
Exactly. Plug it right in. In fact, I've used it on the train before when there's been no connection, and it worked flawlessly.
That'd be pretty interesting, because sometimes you know you want to be able to get a full browser page up on your laptop, which you can't really do on a PDA.
And that's why I don't have a BlackBerry, Jim. I mean, I know BlackBerries are being sold like hotcakes. Many people have them yourself.
You can't have mine. I like mine.
They're great for email. I must say they're great.
They are great.
But as you said, if you want to have full access to the web like I need, you know, as an editor, I need to write a lot. So for me, the notebook is more important.
Right, absolutely. Well, yeah, well said. Okay, now let's. We only got about 30 seconds before we go to the break. When we come back, though, we're going to talk about what's called open source operating systems.
Absolutely.
Linux. We hear the other name is Red Hat, which is the commercial version, the company that commercially distributes Linux, which is open source as opposed to proprietary source. Which is what Microsoft represents, their operating system, the Windows system, right?
And paying a lot more money for it, exactly.
And the other one is Linux, which is the open source. And there's a real competitive environment going on between those two right now, isn't there?
It's very hot, Jim, and not just the operating systems, but also the software applications you can download.
The people who are developing software for each one of those. And there's a very interesting dynamic going on between these two and the people who use the different ones. And we're going to be right back. And Ramon's going to help us sort through all this right after these messages. There may be an important solution in here for you right after these messages. Stay with us. 20 after.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and he beat me.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ramon Ray is with us, too. He's the author of Technology Solutions for Growing Businesses. Ramon, I need your website, please.
Smallbiztechnology.com. Thank you, Jim.
And we got something under a million articles there that people can read, right?
That's correct. Many thousands.
And folks, and they're all just available. All they got to do is show up and avail themselves, right?
That's correct, Ramon? Every day they'll find the daily news and information to help their small business grow. So there's articles, book reviews, and a whole laundry of things all related to technology.
Do you have a letter, a newsletter, or an email publication of any kind?
Yes, right on the left side of the site, they'll see they can subscribe to Small Business Technology Report, which comes out about once per week.
All right. It'll be worth your time, folks, because whatever Ramon says is worth reading, worth listening to. And Ramon, also, I see you all over the place. Your byline is all over the place. There's a new magazine that I like a lot, the New York Entrepreneur. What's it called?
New York Enterprise Report.
Enterprise, yeah. What's the guy's name?
Rob
Lipp. Yeah, Rob Levin, yeah, he's a good guy. Tell him, you can tell him we mentioned his magazine on the air. I see you're reporting that, you're bylining that all the time, and other places, folks. You'll see Ramon all over the place. Okay, Ramon, we got open source, we got proprietary. Now, tell us the difference between those two, not technologically, but from a business model standpoint.
Sure. When you buy something that's proprietary, for example, Microsoft Word or Excel, the vendor that sold it to you owns that license. They own the product. So it's usually expensive.
When you buy something, you mean when you buy a program that works on Windows?
Exactly.
Right.
So Windows XP, Windows 98, Windows 2000, 95, or those are the operating system, or you have the individual programs, Word, Excel, etc. Those belong to the vendor, and usually it's expensive. It could be
if you're in an industry and somebody has developed an inventory management or an accounting program for the people in your industry, and you would say to them, what is the operating system? They would say it's Windows based or it's Linux based.
Exactly, correct. And the other half of that, now that's proprietary, where someone owns the license, they own it, and it's often a bit more expensive, and you cannot hack it, break into the code, if you will, Jim, also. You can't modify the code.
You can't, if you're smart enough, which I'm not, but if you're somebody like Ramon, and you're smart enough, you can't even access, you can't open the curtain and peek behind it, can you?
Exactly.
And the same thing with the Windows software, it's the operating system, the base operating system itself.
Correct.
All right, that's proprietary. Now, the other one.
The other side of that, open source, means that someone, because they love to program, they love to code, they want to help businesses grow, they've created what's called open source, and the license is usually freely available, so it's cheap or low cost, and secondly, you are able to peek under the curtain. You can modify the code, if you will, for your own. So your license,
and that's Linux, right?
That's Linux is one, correct?
Right.
And that's the operating system. And then there's the thousands of applications that are also open source based that can run on Windows, by the way. But
right.
They're still open source licensed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know my personal life, Jim, it's not just Microsoft. Adobe, for example, great product, great creator of the famous PDF software. There's many open source programs that are freely available that let you create PDF programs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an example.
If you want to be able to do that. Now, for the average person out there,
sure.
Ramon, who are just basically consumers, we're really good at taking what somebody's created and leveraging it and being productive with it, but we're not so good at, we don't even know where the curtain is, let alone how to peek behind it. For those of us that, we're not Luddites. We know how to turn a computer on. We're just not techies. What does all this mean to us? What does it matter?
What this means is that if you're a small business somewhere and you have 5 employees or 10 employees and you want to buy Microsoft Word, for example, you're going to pay a few hundred dollars a month for the full a few hundred dollars per copy for the full version. If you go to a site like OpenOffice.org or a few other sites, but OpenOffice.org is one, for free, you can download a competing version of Microsoft Office. They call it OpenOffice, which has a word processor. For free.
What's the business model there?
Well, their hope is that, one, you may buy some consulting services from them.
Okay.
You may want to buy support from them. That's their hope. And sometimes it's simply purely because they want to advance the open source community. And there's many political reasons behind
there's
that.
There's a lot of benevolence out there in technology, the world of technology. Ramon, I mean, you're a perfect example of that, all the great things that you write for people. But, of course, you make your living off of letting folks know that you're out there to help them with other things. But there's a lot of that out there. And what you're saying is if I downloaded that free Word type of software, if I wanted to make some changes, I wanted to move some things around, would I be able to do that?
Exactly. That's the second thing. So the first benefit is it's free, and you can copy it onto all 10, 20, 50 of your office's computers. But yes, the second point is that if you want, say, your programmer wants to modify the word processor and make it integrate into this custom application that you were referring to, your inventory database, your shoe database, what have you, they can do that with no problem. If they had another product that was proprietary, oftentimes a license restricts what you can do. But with the open source, you can freely modify it and, as we already said, freely download it and use it.
And sometimes when a Microsoft program takes over and acts like it wants to do it the way it wants to do it instead of the way you want to do, that's when you might want an open source system.
Exactly.
Hey, Ramon, this is fascinating. I want to learn some more about this.
Sure.
Will you come back another day and let's talk about open source and proprietary again?
I'd love to. Thank
we'll
you.
Do
so much.
We'll do this again with Ramon Ray. Give us your website again, please.
SmallBizTechnology.com.
SmallBizTechnology.com. Thanks, Ramon. You're the best.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you later. Quick break, right back with our good friend Russell Brown. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.